football, championship football.
Trying to show these boys how we really get down, man.
16 weeks.
Let's go.
Thousands of hits, catches, tackles, kicks, passes, and blocks. A lifetime's worth of blood and sweat. All poured into a 60-minute, bone-crushing, adrenaline-fueled battle of bodies. Welcome to Go for the Two.
Go for the Two.
With Yahoo Sports Radio college football analyst Joe Lisi. And former Georgia Bulldogs wide receiver Corey Allen.
Right, let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Huddle up. Here's Joe and Corey.
We are about 6 months away from the start of the 2016 college football season, but I am chomping at the bit. We're going to look at West Virginia in a little bit. West Virginia in 2015 had a very successful campaign, 8-5 overall, culminated with a bowl victory over Arizona State, 43-42, a dynamic bowl victory for Dana Holgorsen and the Mountaineers. They'll turn their attention in a little bit to the 2016 campaign. Joining me today is a very special guest. He had an outstanding career in Morgantown from 1999 through 2002. I want to welcome in former West Virginia running back Avon Colburn. Avon, how are you today?
Oh, man, I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. You had an outstanding career from 1999 to 2002. You are the all-time West Virginia rushing leader with 5,164 total rushing yards. You had 28 games with over 100 yards rushing. That's another West Virginia record. You two-time All-Big East selection. Talk to me about what it meant for you to play for the Mountaineers in Morgantown, and more importantly, for two head coaches, Don Nealon and Rich Rodriguez.
Man, you know what? It was awesome. I mean, the way I got there was kind of odd. I mean, I tore my ACL in high school, and you know, out of all the teams that stayed with me, West Virginia was one of those teams. And you know, I chose them, and they chose me as well. So for me, it was an awesome experience, man. That was a great opportunity for me to go and play for a great school, a school that, you know, they love. I mean, not even just a school, like a state that loves their football. You know, and I mean, I was blessed. I had a lot of great guys around me that helped me, you know, get to where I've been, and you know, get those records.
You're a Jersey guy. You grew up in Camden. I'm a Jersey guy, and I don't think a lot of true college football fans recognize the great talent within the state of New Jersey. Talk to me a little bit. You mentioned that you had knee surgery and you had an injury in high school, but talk to me a little bit about the recruiting process, because I'm always enamored about how athletes get to their universities. Talk to me about how Don Nealon and the staff recruited you back in the day.
I mean, like I said, it was a little odd. You know, coming out of Holy Cross High School, I was recruited by pretty much everybody. And then when I tore my ACL, a lot of teams backed out, a lot of SEC schools. And to be honest with you, at the time, I didn't even know the difference between SEC or anything like that. I just knew I wanted to play, you know, college football. You know, what happened, Coach Pierce is funny, because I just seen him this year at the coaching convention this year. And he recruited me, came by and sat down with me and the Mebzes, who I stayed with at the time. You know, it was funny, because I was kind of reflecting about my, you know, my college process. And it was one practice that I had where Coach Holmes, he was a DB coach that was there at the time. He came down to watch me practice the day before the game, and I had a terrible practice. But I ended up having a great game for the game, but I had a terrible practice the day before. And so they would just come down and watch me practice and watch me play. You know, I would meet them here and there. And then, you know, when the opportunity came for me to sign with West Virginia, it was a dream come true. You know, it wasn't too far from the house, so I knew, you know, family and friends could come visit. You know, it was – I always grew up wanting to play for a team that had blue and yellow, blue and gold colors. And, I mean, it just so happened that was what I wanted, and that's kind of how it kind of evolved. And, you know, it was one of the, you know, it's funny how that recruitment process goes, because there's particular things that players, you know, want, you know, as far as a college or whatever. Maybe it's colors, maybe it's uniforms, maybe it's, you know, cleats. And, you know, for me, it was a necessity to have, you know, blue and gold, and also to have Nike cleats. There's a lot of teams that had Adidas, and I just wasn't putting on Adidas. It's crazy how how simple-minded we are.
Yeah, I love you see, and that's what I love about the stories. I'm going to show my age now because, you know, the pageantry and tradition of West Virginia football, 1988 stands out with Major Harris and that undefeated team, Bo Orlando and some of those guys. I grew up watching a guy out in West Virginia, a solid defensive end and linebacker, David Grant, that was, you know, just phenomenal at his position. And another guy, Jeff Hostetler, back in the day. I remember when they went on the road to Norman to face Oklahoma. They dropped that ball game, but just admired the way West Virginia football was all about. And I grew up watching Big East football. And that's another thing, too, when you look at the conference as a whole overall back in the day that you played. I mean, you played in the heart of the conference back in the day, and the pageantry and tradition of West Virginia football. Talk to me about that, the fans, what it meant to play in Morgantown, because that's what I love hearing, too, about the great universities that make up, you know, college football as a whole.
You know, that was important. I mean, I really, like I said before, I didn't understand what it meant to play for West Virginia when I got there, because I really didn't know anything about West Virginia. I mean, all I knew was that, you know, I had a couple guys from my college, from my high school that went there. And then, you know, I knew Amos was there, and I went and watched him a couple times. And once I got there, you started to get the feel of what West Virginia was all about, you know, what the Blue and Gold was really about. You know, I guess the biggest thing that it was about was just beating Pitt. And, I mean, it's unfortunate that rival is gone. That rivalry is gone, but – you know, that was kind of the biggest thing that when I got there, that was the first thing Coach Nealon said was, we're going to beat Pitt. You know, that's the first thing. I don't care what else we do, we're going to beat Pitt. And, you know, and then I just remember that you touched on that earlier, that Rich Rod, you know, when Rich Rod came in, I mean, he's a former Mountaineer as well. So, you know, it was just that same mindset, you know, regardless of how our season goes, if we beat Pitt, you know, our season as well. And I mean, that was kind of the past. But now I think now we want to live in not necessarily moral victories. We want to win national championships. And I mean, that was my mindset. I think that was, you know, everybody's mindset going there was, you know, is it possible we can win a national championship? We had great players. We had good players. And a tradition that, you know, with Daryl Talley and all the guys that came before us, we wanted to set that example for the guys coming, you know, coming behind us. And I think we did a great job of catapulting, you know, West Virginia to where they are. And the guys set the bar, you know, for when we went there, you know, to where they are now. And I mean, it's always exciting to see, you know, the players that you know, that were underneath you have success. And, you know, they call you sometime and attribute some of their success to you, as far as, you know, whether it's the work ethic, whether it's the way you prepare, you know, that's awesome. And it always lives on. It always goes one step further, you know, because once you leave, now they have the reins, now they have the leadership. And now, you know, however they lead is however that team is going to go. And, you know, when Rich Rod came in, you know, we knew we had a great group of seniors, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, we left with a nice legacy of West Virginia football doing and being who, you know, who West Virginia football was before, you know, the 2001 season. Cause that was a horrific season. And then we ended off, you know, going, I think 9-something, and which was awesome. Cause I don't think we won 9 games in a long time.
And that's great, too, and hearing that and seeing the transition, because with any new coach after a legendary head coach, and you can mention a team that's going to have that this year in Virginia Tech, Frank Beamer now retired, you know, yeah. New head coach in place. So there's always a transition, especially in styles. I mean, back in the day with Don Nealon, and I remember another quarterback, he wasn't the best quarterback, but brought West Virginia to prominence was Jake the Snake Keltner back in the day that beat Miami, you know, he had the mullet and everything else going on back in the day. But, you know, and I just think of blue collar football, you know, between the tackles, a tough running game, and, you know, a defense that brought an attitude. That's what reminded me of the great Don Nealon teams for West Virginia. And then Rich Rod comes in and he's got this high octane offense. Yeah, you had a great quarterback during your tenure there, Rasheed Marshall. I think a lot of football mm-hmm. fans forget his great athletic ability and really how to utilize his talents. So it was a transition, but that's what I like to hear and hear how, you know, your team basically did catapult the great teams in West Virginia in the mid-2000s because it was a grind, right? I mean, it was when you get a new head coach in there and you have to maintain the senior leadership on the team. That's what it's all about. But I love hearing that, and I love hearing the work ethic of what it takes to succeed because that's where football is, right?
Absolutely, and I mean it's crazy because when new coaches come in, you know, change is evident. You know, things are going to happen that most players don't want to happen. And you know, we lost a lot of good. I lost my best friend. You know, he was my roommate, my best friend. And when Rich Rod came in, you know, he was like, look, you know, you're not going to play here, so you know, you probably want to transfer. And he was like, well, he was like, okay, if you feel like that, then I'm going to leave. And he went to Kentucky and he didn't play anymore, but you know, now he's doing well. But it's tough because that year, cause everybody, you know, when in 2001, when those seniors, became seniors, I was actually playing, you know, in 99 and 2000. So those guys that were seniors, I was playing with them the whole time. And for them to go out in that type of way, it definitely hurt. You know, because you definitely want to, you know, send your seniors out with, you know, the best way possible, because all the work they put in, all the hard work, all the sweat and the blood and the tears that they've, you know, put in over those years, you want to make sure that you can send them out the best way possible. And when that came in, the whole transition just killed everything. It killed, you know, the momentum that we had. I thought we had a great team, a great group of seniors, but we just couldn't gel the way we needed to. And you know, obviously, when it's really not your team, you can't really lead the way that you think things are supposed to be led. And you know, saying that, you know, I still had a pretty good year that year. I still had, a really good year that year. But it was just guys just wasn't buying into what was saying. And that's kind of the difficulty when new coaches come in. You know, from Coach Neal, like you said, was a downhill, pounded, you know, grinded, great defensive coach. And when Rich Rod comes in, you know, we kind of fooled a lot of people because, you know, we were spread out. We were wide open, but we ran the ball. We were number two in the country. You know, and I think that was kind of the staple that we had as a West Virginia team. Like, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to play good defense. And I think that's what we did to accomplish some of the things that we did while I was playing and, you know, years after. And obviously you need great players, and you know, they started to recruit great players after, you know, after I left. And and that was kind of like a staple of what, you know, what Rich Rod was. He got great players, and you know, he ran the football. And you know, obviously when you got great players that can make plays, you're going to win a lot of games. And that's kind of, that was important, you know, to West Virginia. And if you go back, you know, from when I started to now, it's a totally different campus, and that's awesome because we see the growth in our football. We see the growth in our and just the atmosphere of the whole, you know, university.
It's incredible. And the one thing I admire about your game is you weren't afraid to pound it between the tackles for your size. And that's not to take away, but you weren't 6'3", 6'4". You know, you were a weight room guy, but you were not afraid to pound the rock between the tackles. And that's the one thing I admire about your game is that you could take it to the outside, catch the perimeter of the defense, take it to the house anytime you touch the football. But lo and behold, if you needed a yard, you would get it for your team. And that's the one thing that we don't see in today's game enough in terms of the spread offense, that when teams do need that 1 yard or a goal line situation, they struggle sometimes, you know, to get it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's been said, when you look at the spread offense a little bit, oh, they need a fullback, or in terms of short yardage, you know, situations that spread offenses struggle, or that they're not built to get that tough yard in terms of, you know, when they go up against a defense. Talk to me a little bit about that, because, and then we'll talk about the great tradition of running back you at West Virginia, because I don't think a lot of people understand that, but talk to me about that mindset in terms of the spread offense.
And you said it, Joe, and at the end of the day, it's a mindset. regardless of what you're running, because, you know, right now I'm up in Canada, and it's totally spread. There's no fullback in anything. It's a mindset. I guess the way I was brought up was, look, there's nobody going to stop me from getting what I want. And I just think nowadays, the young guys these days, I mean, they're so athletic, they think they can just run around everybody, and they kind of lose that mindset of, look, I'm going to go take what I want, you know, when I need to go get it. And, you know, with that mindset, I think, you know, that's what allowed me to do the things that I was able to do, you know, between the tackles and, you know, blocking guys and just really imposing my will, being a smaller guy, but imposing my will on guys to, you know, propel my team. And I think that's what one thing that allowed my leadership to show through as well, is because I wasn't afraid to go out there and get my nose dirty and go get that yard. And when your players see that you're not, or when your teammates see that you're not afraid to do that, they gravitate to it. And with that, you know, that's how you can really build the organization and build a team. And I think that's how we did it, because, I mean, I wasn't going to allow anything around me to be soft. You know, if you were going to be soft, you wasn't going to play. And I mean, it was just going to be a natural progression that you just get weaned out of what we're doing, because, you know, one thing we wouldn't allow is soft players around us. And I'm not saying guys nowadays are soft, but they're just built different. They're built more for speed and more for edges. And so I think that's just the way that things are being recruited now, as you know, not to find those guys to go downhill. And I mean, not saying that because we found a guy this year that would run between those tackles and do the things that need to be done. But for the most part, guys, they're not recruiting the same type of players.
I agree with you, and I'm with you in that mindset. I think when I look at college football, I love the game. I'm an avid fan, and I follow it as much as anybody in the country, start to finish. But when I see today's game, it's a different progression and evolution that you hit the nail on the head. I don't see the same type of intensity every play the way I saw in the mid-90s or even at the start of the decade. I just don't see it consistently. But, you know, yeah. I think that it comes on a lot of factors. It comes with the safety issue. It comes with, I think, a lot of 7-on-7 camps, you know, where kids excel, but then you put them into the tackle environment, it's a different animal. And I think that's what we even see on the offensive side of the ball, even from the quarterback position. But that's incredible, and I love to hear your insight. Great players such as yourself, I love to hear your thoughts about it. But when we look at West Virginia, and I have this list, I mean, it's incredible when you think about the running back talent, professional talent there. I mean, Adrian Morrell, he had an outstanding career for the New York Jets. A guy that I loved was Robert Walker. Didn't get as much fanfare, you know, in the NFL, but was a dynamic running back in Morgantown. Robert Walker, just for me, epitomized what West Virginia football was all about. Then you have the running back that came before you, in Amos Zeroway, that was another dynamic running back, just a pound it between the tackles runner and just could take it to the house. And then you have guys like KJ Harris who came onto the scene, and then Steve Slayton and Noel Devine, and then two guys now in Wendell Smallwood and Russell Shell last year. Really, you think of the talent from top to bottom, Avon, and then you're the career leader at your university. I mean, the running backs that came before you and after you, to have the success that you had in Morgantown is unreal.
You know what? I just got to give glory, you know, glory to God, because, I mean, it's been a blessing, too. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure that the record's going to get broken soon because of the talent that we're getting there. And also, you know, some of the guys, they leave a little bit early, or they don't actually get the opportunity to play as early as I did as well. So, you know, I don't foresee it staying around, you know, too much longer. But, you know, it's just been a great. I mean, from watching Amos, I said, you know what, I want to be better than him. And I mean, it was tough because, I mean, he was so great. He was like a Barry Sanders to me. I mean, and when after the 98 season, when he, you know, I seen him, I met him in the, I didn't meet him, but we were walking back to our rooms in the hotel after the bowl game, and he was like, you know, it's your show now. And I don't even know if he remembers that, but by him giving me that insight, just saying that to me, it just gave me the confidence to say, okay, look, I'm going to go take this thing. And, you know, man, I was telling him since I was since I was a junior in high school, that I was going to be better than him. You know what I mean? Because I would come to the games as a junior with my coach, who actually coached with Don Nealon, and you know, just to be able to follow, you know, to follow in his footsteps and do the things that he did on the level of West Virginia was just, it's just phenomenal, man. And then the talent that we're getting now, it's just unbelievable. I mean, we're getting guys that's bigger, stronger, and faster. You know, starting with, you know, Quincy Wilson. You forgot to mention Quincy Wilson, who was a hometown hero, who was phenomenal.
I know. I love Quincy Wilson.
Who was phenomenal. Yeah. He was absolutely a beast. And I just, you know, it's funny because I got a quick story. Quincy was actually going to take my job because I wasn't having a very good spring ball. And
right.
I think it was in 2000. Like, he came in as a freshman and was just phenomenal. Like, he was doing things that a freshman shouldn't be able to do. And, you know, it was just by the grace of God that he, you know, not that I wanted him to get hurt, but he had tore his ACL in the spring game, which gave me the opportunity to continue to be the starting tailback. And that kind of woke me up. Like, man, I knew I was losing this battle because he was just phenomenal. I mean, he was just having a heck of a year. And that dude right there pushed me to work out more than I've ever had, because he was just such a ahead of his time as far as being a tailback. And then KJ came after that, and him having a big games, and then, you know, we get into Steve and Noel Devine, and then we get into what's the receiver? He went to who played a little bit of tailback in a couple years ago. I mean, the list goes on and on, man. We get so many great players. It's just unbelievable. And I don't see anything less, because what we do, we run the football. I mean, every coach here has been a staple of, you know, making sure that we run the football. And tailbacks that know you're going to run the football and they're good tailbacks, they should understand, like, look, West Virginia is the place to be. We come from a long line of great backs that come here and make plays. And you only have an opportunity to do the same thing if you come to West Virginia and you show and you got good character, things like that. You'll be a great back.
That's incredible. And I remember Quincy Wilson. I did forget to mention him, but I have to be honest. He was dynamic. You're absolutely right. And I used to tape all of his games because I really was admired by his running style too, because he was a physically bigger back. He was about 6'1", 6'2", but he looked like he was around 215, 220. And that game against Miami, I remember it was a Thursday night, and West Virginia was big underdogs, and nobody thought West Virginia could play with the Hurricanes back then. And they almost struck the upset because of Quincy Wilson. I mean, he was running all over guys on a Thursday night on ESPN. He made the highlight reel like all night on ESPN. So great point about Quincy Wilson, and just great points about running backs from West Virginia, Avon. I mean, incredible. Talk to me about what you see out of Wendell Smallwood as he makes the jump to the next level now. He had an outstanding season last year. He split time at Russell Shell. A lot of people think he's a situational back, but when I look at him, I think if he adds 10 pounds of muscle, he could be an every down back in the NFL because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Give me your thoughts about his game as he transitions to the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's going to shock a lot of people. As what was the back from, not last year, but the year before, who actually got drafted, I think, by Tampa Bay or something. I can't remember where he went. But he's actually going to shock people because of his size and his speed. And, I mean, he has great hands. I mean, I don't think most people understand the ability to catch the football. And being a situational back, I can't see that happening because of his size and – like you said, if he puts on about 10 pounds, I think the sky's going to be the limit with him because of, you know, his speed. Like, I don't think people understand how fast he is and how big he is. I mean, he's not a 4.3 guy, but he's a high 4.4, I think, in my opinion. The way he plays on the field, I mean, the clock might not say high 4.4, but the way he plays on the field, he's a 4.4 guy. And 4.4, that's rare. That's rare air. Most guys want to be 4.4s and don't actually you know, have the ability on the clock to do it. And I think this guy does, especially when he plays on the field. And I think he's going to, like I said, he's going to shock a lot of people because of, you know, his speed. his speed and the way he plays the game. He plays the game hungry. He plays the game as you know, and I think the one thing that you do need on the next level is a guy that's not afraid to go hit somebody in the mouth. And I know he'll do that. I mean, that's what he showed. You know, he'll pick up the blitz and he will, you know, he's going to run through people because of his size and speed.
I agree with you. So we'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, I think his upside is unbelievable at the next level. I mean, we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think he's a steal, you know, in the later rounds. I know he's not projected as a first-round draft pick or even a second. But he's a guy that, you know, even if he's a free agent, he's a guy that can make a team. And you know, if they give him an opportunity, he's one that can really make a difference in terms of the running game. You had an outstanding career in the NFL, and then you went on to the CFL. Talk to me as a running back. What was the biggest thing that you had to learn in terms of your game, making the jump from college to the pro level?
You know, I really think it's really the speed. I mean, and everybody says that, the speed of the game. I mean, when I went from high school to college, and I would go for the spring practices and watch those guys do inside run. I mean, it was just so much faster. Like, you would be like, I was watching, like, how do they get through those holes? And then when you went to the next level, you got guys the same. I mean, you got guys even bigger running the same speed. You know what I mean? And and I think the biggest thing is the speed of the game. And what allowed me to do that was my ability to adapt. I mean, I guess from growing up from where, you know, where I came from, you got to be able to adapt. And if you don't adapt, and I mean, you got to be hungry too. And I think that was huge for me. I mean, I think a lot of guys want to do it, but you know, I went to camp and there was guys that were drafted that just wasn't hungry as other guys were, because I guess because they were drafted. But I mean, this was a dream of mine. This was a goal of mine. I was a free agent, and as a free agent, you know, it was only two free agents on the team to make it, and it was me and another guy, Casey Fitzsimmons, and I think that was for me. It wasn't an option. I mean, I really wanted to do it, and I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, if I put my mind to something, I'm going to get it done. And I think that the mindset, as I go back to everything, like even when I coach now, it's a mindset, fellas. You have to have a mindset of getting things done, however it needs to be done. And that was just, it wasn't an option for me not to be able to get it done. And with that said, you know, just that mindset that I have of always being successful, always being able to adapt and get it done the way it needs to be done.
That's great. And you mentioned, you know, being a coach now, you're part of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL, great team. That's a great league as well. I mean, we've seen NFL talent come out of there and vice versa. NFL stars go to play in the CFL after their days in the NFL. Talk to me about the talent at the CFL level, the league itself. What's dynamic about it? I know the field and the downs, but in terms of the players, because there's great talent that goes under the radar there that I watch the games each and every, you know, week in that league. But talk to me about your thoughts and feelings about the CFL.
I mean, I think I can't say enough about the CFL, because it's, you know what it is, it's kind of like a comfortability. Again, playing professional football, and I think that's why some of the great players that play up there don't really come down, is because their family's taken care of. They have already been solidified, and I mean, this is great players. I mean, we as you've seen, like Cam Wake. Was a defensive lineman up here who, you know, broke every record. And, you know, he was up here for I think 2 years, and, you know, he went down to the NFL. And, I mean, there's numerous defensive linemen and defensive linebackers that went down there. And also, you know, skill positions as well. So, I mean, the talent is still here. It's just the guys, you know, their mind wasn't right at the time, or whatever the reason is, that they weren't prepared for that opportunity, you know. And it's unfortunate sometimes, because there's too many great athletes up here that don't really get an opportunity to play, you know, in the NFL. And I mean, and it's not necessarily, you know, a bad thing not to do it, because this is a great league up here. It's a great league for guys to kind of, you know, get their talents out and do something that they love to do. And some of the guys that I played with, I mean, I had, you know, obviously the best quarterback that ever played football. He has more yards than everybody else. I mean, so I can't say he's not one of the greatest, because he has more yards than any other quarterback in the history of football. So, I mean, there's great talent up here. I mean, and these guys, they want it just the same way. It's just the fact that, you know, some other guys see it, you know, like scouts and you know, GMs, they see it differently in the NFL. But then they go up to Canada, we go up to Canada and have great careers. You know, Hall of Fame careers that, you know, go up there and break numerous amount of records and 10,000 yards of rush. I mean, it's endless amounts of talent. It's just maybe their size, they don't want to take a chance on them, and they go up in Canada and just, you know, do what they've been doing since they were kids, and they just become stars again, and they get comfortable up there saying, okay, look, I don't want to go back down there. I tried it and I didn't have the success that they necessarily say, look, I don't want to take a chance. I mean, I'm comfortable up here. I'm getting paid well. I mean, it's not NFL money, but they're getting paid well enough to say, look, I'm okay. And I mean, the talent up there again, man, is comparable. I mean, because most of the guys from the NFL, maybe their mind isn't right. Maybe, you know, they haven't necessarily thought it through as far as financial decisions and, you know, would drink. And I mean, this is like the second tier of football. There's no, I don't think there's another league, you know, on the level of the CFL. I mean, there's NFL and then there's CFL, and everything else is, you know, behind that because of the talent.
That's great. And you mentioned the all-time leader. It's Anthony Cavillo, right? I mean, that's how you say his last name. I watched him because I don't know if I told you the story, but Robert Edwards was one of my favorite running backs, you know, back in the day in college, the great Georgia running backs. He came back in the NFL after a severe leg injury with the Miami Dolphins, got a comeback player of the week, and then after his career was over in the NFL, went to Montreal to play for the Alouettes, and I know that you sat behind him for a year and then all of a sudden took his job, but I watched a lot of those games and your games in the CFL, and I just admired the talent, and I would watch CFL games every week because I love Robert Edwards and I wanted to see that, you know, see him play and you know, so, but, you know, have followed the CFL for years, and it's just, you're right, just the talent that's there. It is a second tier because it's a league, it's an established league, and we've seen great college players, you know, move on to that league. Another one of my personal favorites played for the Hamilton Tiger Cats was Danny McManus, the former Florida State quarterback. I grew up watching him and loved him in his college career, and when he moved on to the CFL, I followed a lot of his games. So I love hearing stories about that, Avon. That's what makes the game of football so special, hearing the transition. It's not just the NFL. It's hearing, you know, the college stories and then
absolutely
the transition to whatever, to what it's all about. And now you're coaching. I mean, that's got to be a great, great honor to give back and mentor younger athletes today, right?
I mean, that, you know what? It's so rewarding. It's so rewarding because, I mean, one, like you said earlier, as far as how the game has changed, and not necessarily always for the better, you know, because of the mentality that is nowadays. You know, a lot of players, a lot of athletes nowadays, they feel so entitled. And having a guy that played in those years where, you know, you had to work for everything that you've got, you know, you got to put in your time, and just having that experience of just playing the game. And now that I can take that experience that I've had and give it back to these guys and let them know, look, you have to, there's things that has to happen. And my experiences are not the same as everybody else's, and mine is not always right. And, you know, what I would like to say, you know, to that is, guys, we always have to work for what we want. And you find nowadays that they don't do it. And now I have an opportunity to kind of express that to these guys and just to get them to continue to see the game, you know, from old eyes, you know what I mean? Oh, from a guy that played, you know, in the late 90s in college where, you know, guys would, you know, work out. I mean, it just seems like a totally different era than what it was, you know, when I played. And just to give that back. I mean, obviously everything that we did back in the day isn't right because there's a lot of concussion things that's going on now that, you know, we weren't really concerned with. But again, we actually have, I think it was the greatest era of football, you know, from, you know, I like to say a lot of times where, you know, when I talk to guys, I mean, they stopped really making this motto of athlete after 79, you know what I mean? And now it's a new breed of athlete. So we try to give them that mentality of what we did back in the day and you know, just to give them that mindset of how the game was played and how we think the game should be played.
That's great, and you're right. I mean, that's a great statement. It's the first time I've ever heard of it. They stopped making this brand of athlete after 1979. That's great, and that epitomizes your work ethic of what it took to be a great running back in college and in the CFL. I mean, a professional through, and that's what I admire about your game. I think you're a class act. I think you're an inspiration and a role model for athletes of all ages, and love the fact that you're giving back as a coach now with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I just want to thank you for joining me today. I mean, the insight, the information, Avon, has been awesome, and I would love to have you on, you know, once the season's over, once college football kicks in, we'll talk some West Virginia football.
Oh, absolutely. I would love it, man. I just thank you again for your time, man. Thank you for reaching out and allowing me to, you know, kind of give back a little bit, give back some of my insight, man. It's always fun, man. It's always fun.
Well, I wish you the best. Have a great season, and I'll be in touch.
All right, Joe. Thank you, man. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. That was former standout for the West Virginia Mountaineers, Avon Colburn, West Virginia leader in rushing yards with 5,164. I mean, when you think about the running backs that went to West Virginia throughout the day, I mean, the list is unreal. I mean, and he leads them. He had 28 100-yard rushing games in his career. That's a record. Unbelievable talent and an unbelievable person, because he is a role model and he's a class act, and he's taking his career now to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as coach. So follow him there. We're just getting started. This is what the game of football is all about, hearing the stories, hearing from great players such as Avon Colburn. We're going to have a great show. Corey and I are going to be back within a couple of weeks. We'll be breaking down some of the biggest games of the 2016 college football season. I mean, we are just getting started. I am chomping at the bit for the new season to start. I can't wait. I know spring ball is underway, but if you're like me, it's meaningless unless there's an injury that we have to talk about. We're not going to learn anything about these teams in spring ball. I like to jump ahead. I like to get to week number one. Let's start breaking it down numbers-wise, and then we'll put the pieces in place in August when we see position battles. But that's what it's all about. Stay with me all season long on GoForTheChew.com. Have a great weekend, everyone.